Well, you've probably noticed the colors for today are red, not the usual green of the Pentecost season. The reason for that is today happens to be the festival of St. Peter and St. Paul. These two men were instrumental to the founding of the early Christian church. Both were courageous, they preached boldly, and both would lose their lives for the sake of the gospel. Their backgrounds, however, are not the same. Peter was a fisherman who lacked any formal education. Impetuous, zealous sometimes to a fault, but faithful, he would eventually become a great apostle, taught by Christ himself, and a mighty prophet of the Word of God. St. Paul is a different story. He certainly was no fisherman, but a highly educated Pharisee, knowledgeable of Jewish law. He was zealous for the traditions of his fathers, and the book of Galatians tells us that he was at the top of his class. He also persecuted the church, oversaw the death of Stephen. He hated Christ until that one faithful day he was converted by God. Going to Damascus, he is converted by God. And when that happens, scales fall from his eyes. And a man once blind to the faith suddenly sees. The Apostle Paul would then go on to redirect his zeal and his knowledge to the spreading of the gospel of Christ, even as it led to his death. Two different men, but two different men raised by God to do the same work, which was to ultimately bring Christ and all his gifts to sinners. We would be wrong to worship these saints. But we can and should remember the work that they did. Specifically, the gospel that they preached. And how through these men, God worked to take for himself a people. A people bearing his name. Friends, faith comes from hearing the word of God. And that's what these men did. They proclaimed the holy word of God. People heard it, and by the grace of God, sinful people were brought to faith and so worthy to be called children of God. Whenever you hear that phrase, faith justifies or faith saves, that is simply because faith, true, genuine, God-given faith belonging to the Christian, faith always has an object. And for the Christian, that object is our Lord and our God and all of his promises. Faith clings to the one by whom we have been atoned for and forgiven and have access to our most holy God in the everlasting paradise he has prepared. Faith purifies the heart because faith grabs hold of the one who purified you by his shed blood. Faith given by the Holy Spirit through God's proclaimed word, that faith grabs hold of Christ. And united to him, living in him, that means you are still a sinner, yes, but also a saint. Holy, righteous, forgiven because of God's love, pardon, and peace poured out on you through Christ alone. Preaching, hearing, believing. You can probably connect the dots to see if one desires the church to grow, if one desires to be missional and reach beyond the boundaries of God's kingdom, then what is preached and what is heard, it makes all the difference. The content of that proclamation makes all the difference. It matters. And it must be front and center of the church's work. The gospel, the word of God, must never be a convenient afterthought in the church's labor, following man's own creativity and opinions. Friends, there is no shortage of gimmicks and fads that people employ in order to get people to come into the church. There's no lack of people who bring a message that they call the gospel. They will call it the gospel, when in reality, it is just another circumcision, another law draped around the hearer's neck. There are those who have certainly mastered the art of telling people what they want to hear, scratching itchy ears, telling people about their greatness or their potential to do wonderful things. There are the teachings out there that say if you do X, Y, and Z, if you take the first step, God will meet you and bring you peace, wealth, and prosperity. That teaching sounds pretty good, but it's not biblical, and it's not the gospel. That was not the message preached by Peter and Paul, a message for which they died. That is not the gospel preached by our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ says he will grow his church. Stages, rock bands, fancy clothing, dyed hair, youthful charisma. Looks good on the surface. If only we do this or that. If only we make the right cultural adaptions to appease culture, then the world will love the church and there will be peace. We just got to figure out what gets people's attention. And once we do that, the church will tick and we will grab people's minds and keep them and the church will grow. All we got to do. That's not how Peter and Paul thought. That wasn't their mentality. That is not what they were instructed to do. They preached. They proclaimed the mighty word of God. And through that word, Christ promises he will build. He will build his church. Yes, we know from the days of Peter and Paul, things are a little bit different, aren't they? Culture has changed in 2,000 or so years. Attention spans are shorter. We have all sorts of technology, all sorts of gadgets and gizmos vying for our attention while the church is forgotten. Things are different. But there is one fundamental problem, friends, that stays the same. And it's a problem with man. It may manifest itself differently from generation to generation, but the lingering problem that is sin, the corrupted nature inherent in all flesh, that part never changes. And there's only one cure for it. In the gospel lesson, we heard the confession of St. Peter. He says to Jesus, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And that confession has resonated with the church throughout the ages. And what Jesus says in response to that confession is equally important. He says, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but by my Father in heaven. And I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Contrary to other teachings, this is not the institution of the first pope. God's church is not founded on flesh and blood. But Peter makes a confession of faith, friends, a faith that trusts and believes in the true rock of Holy Scripture, our Lord and our God. By possessing faith to confess Christ, upon that confession, Christ will grow his church. Not you, not I, but our God. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Those words are the words upon which God will build his church. People hear that confession, and through the Holy Spirit, people will come to believe that confession and make it their own. By this, God grows his church. By his word, his work, God will grow his church. Not by gimmicks, not by fads, not by our own personal efforts, as if we've got something today better than Peter and Paul. What we have is what they had. The gospel. The proclamation of Christ, who is the only begotten Son of the true living God. This is the message. This is the message that God put into the mouths of Peter and Paul, and it is the message of the church to this very day. Christ still builds his church, making people his own by that proclaimed gospel. Yes, I'm emphasizing this point. But friends, it's important to you. When your conscience is stricken and your sins begin to well up inside of you, sins of your youth, sins of your past, sins of years ago, When you reflect upon yourself and you ask the question, am I really forgiven? Am I really sorry or contrite enough for the transgressions of my past? Have you ever said to yourself, maybe God forgives me, but I don't think I can forgive myself? To all of those thoughts, let me say this. Living as a baptized Christian, walking by faith, it's not as easy as it sounds. But when you experience these thoughts, when they torment your conscience, and sometimes strike unexpectedly, remember, people of God, it is not what you think about yourself that ultimately matters, but it is about what your Lord has done for you and what God says about you. And for the sake of Christ, the Son of the living God, who took all of your sins and paid for them in full, God says unto you, my child, you are forgiven. My child, you are innocent. My child, go in peace. That is the proclamation God promises to be yours through Christ and Christ alone. Our Lord is faithful. And my final point is our Lord Jesus will bring this message of reconciliation to people. And by our Lord's grace, he will put faith in hearts to believe and proclaim the mercies and wonders of a God who never abandons, never rejects his people. Remember the God that you serve, a God who sees you, his creation, worth enough to die for. That Christ has done. Your salvation is secure. This message is what Peter, Paul, and our Lord Jesus preached. It's what converts hardened sinners into faithful saints. It's the message put into the great apostles. And so let us pray. Let us pray that God keeps us faithful to always hear this message, to believe this message, to trust this message, and to receive the comfort that only God gives in this message. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which does surpass all human understanding, may it guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now until life everlasting. Amen.